always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A close call for 31 construction workers inside an industrial tunnel in L.A. that partially collapsed. Chelsea Fernandez rushed to the scene.
I live down the street. I ran over here and I asked the police, please let me through. My husband's in there.
Search continues for more than 170 people missing in Texas flooding. CBS's Karen Waugh says questions persist about a warning plan.
Several officials have refused to directly answer what exactly happened with these emergency alerts. We have some officials defending their actions, saying that they saved more than 200 people.
A federal court hearing underway in New Hampshire on a class action lawsuit challenging the president's executive order to end birthright citizenship. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Lawyers in Maryland on Monday filed a similar lawsuit seeking a new preliminary injunction halting any action denying citizenship to newborn babies.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. The effects of foreign aid on international relations may sound like a daunting title for a Tuesday night presentation at the local library, but Greg St. Arnold of Milwaukee brought a group of close to 30 people together with alacrity.
I want you to find somebody you don't know and just go introduce yourself and say hi. So let's stand up.
When Greg quieted the room, he asked everyone to say to each other, "Thank you for sharing your country with me." He said there are a few things in U.S. history that we can reflect on with pride. Some of those include the efforts we have historically made to improve conditions in other countries and our relationships with them as we all live on this one planet. The hour-long presentation covered Greg's journey from studying abroad in Kenya to working as a congressional staffer for Russ Feingold, teaching for 8 years in the U.S., to his work with the Jesuit Refugee Service in Africa, where he eventually became the Director of Education for JRS in multiple countries. His knowledge and experience with how foreign aid is utilized has given him unique insight into why it's important.
There's three reasons why we should all support foreign aid. Number one is that it makes us safer as Americans. Another way that it makes us safer is by stabilizing unstable situations or unstable areas.
Greg said the third reason is that if U.S. aid, funding, resources, and influence are lost, other countries will step in to fill the vacuum.
It was both smart strategically and it was a good thing to do. It was the right thing to do for the United States to be engaged in kind of helping build and stabilize these types of places. And we've just kind of walked away from it.
What can we do now? Greg said talk to people about why foreign aid is good. Figure out their concerns, such as national security or growing markets worldwide, and how foreign aid helps those efforts, and support good programs. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News. Real news and great conversation.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Havacker.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. Going to kick things off with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Doing all right. Yeah.
Nice sunny skies out there. Yeah. A little bit of cloudiness, but we'll take it.
I was going to say, we flipped roles. Now I'm stuck under all the clouds, not too far north of you, and you've got some sunshine.
You did tell us
there.
Yeah. You told us that yesterday. You said that's what was going to happen. Yeah.
Now I jinxed myself and put the city
council. There's that part of it, yeah.
Oopsie.
So, yeah, we've got a really unsettled, active weather pattern here, starting this afternoon and continuing through Saturday afternoon. Make sure you have the mud boots, the rain boots, the umbrella, the coat, the raincoat. You want all of that through the next few days. And I hope you already cut the grass. If you didn't, squeeze it in right now, because the next chance to really do that is going to be on Sunday. We're going to see waves of rain on and off, and the atmosphere is going to get muggy. It's going to get a little warm and sticky, and that's a lot of juice for these storms to work with. So they're going to have a lot of rain potential with them. just this afternoon, we could see a quick 1.5 inches and underneath a thunderstorm. So if you put that on repeat with waves and waves and waves as we go into Friday and Saturday, even more storms pushing through, yes, we definitely have that potential for flash flooding, especially in urban areas. The streets could flood. We could also see those rivers and streams rising in different areas. But these storms are going to be moving very slowly. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. It's going to dump a lot into one area wherever they are. So they're going to fire up this afternoon, probably around 4 or 5 or so. We are definitely in that spot where it could happen here for us. And they continue through the night. They become a little bit heavier overnight. We could get a little break in the morning and then more storms again for Friday evening. And then the cold front hits us on Saturday, which sweeps across the entire state with more showers and storms. Mm. But again, the sunshine back by Sunday, continuing into Monday. Honestly, early next week looks pretty nice.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah. We appreciate you, Brittany. Thanks so much for the update. Have yourself a good one. We'll get people ready for the weekend tomorrow.
Sounds good. Can't wait. Have a good day, guys.
You too. Best in the business right there. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning. We got good stuff on the way for you. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is coming up. We're also going to get into the cities with the best and worst DMVs.
And poor DMVs.
I don't know if this actually connects or not, but to me, I wanted to connect that with the U.S. airports that force you to walk miles between gates.
Oh, good Lord.
The longest gates, the longest distance of gates at
airports. That'll be interesting. I have thoughts on that, too.
Get into that one. I don't want to say a nightmare, but it is whatever is right under a nightmare to me of this, what this woman was going through with Amazon.
Slightly scary dream?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, something like
not
that.
Not a full-blown nightmare, but yeah.
It's a Thursday, so you know what that means. In the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to have our Pet of the Week with the Southwick County Maine Society. Denise going to join us. Big shout-out and thank you to Milltown Coffee for that. Mm-hmm. We appreciate them sponsoring that segment.
Fabulous.
Seth and I will get into some entertainment news. Got not one, but two Steven Spielberg stories. a double shot of Spielberg.
Okay, interesting.
We used to do that a lot in the classic rock days. Double shot of Spielberg. You get your jaws and close.
What band was he in?
We've got that coming up for you a little bit later. We'll also get into a fun one. The best classic arcade games. We will discuss, and we will see where the audience falls on this one.
Might lead to some arguments there.
I think so. Especially, we've got different generations out there listening, so I think different generations are going to have, this was the best, or this was the best. But we're strictly looking at games that you played in the arcade.
Right there. You put your quarters in, you played them, and tried to impress your friends.
Yeah. And tried not to break your wrist.
Good Lord, yeah.
As you were playing, like, just going crazy.
How often
buttons.
Are you? Yeah, it's like hours on end, right?
I love the arcade games, too, because, well, like, pinball was a little bit different, but there wasn't a whole lot of strategy. It was a lot of just smashing
it's
buttons.
It's like reaction, so it was like, right? Yeah.
Today, we don't do our National Day of Calendar really anymore around here. We do it over on the Sunrise Show. And one of the things, if you didn't hear, it's National Pina Colada Day.
Pina Colada.
Of course, we celebrated that on 105.5, our country station on the Sunrise Show, playing Garth Brooks's The Dance. I played two pina coladas, of course.
Right,
I kicked off the show with it today.
And if we were a pop station, we'd be playing the Pina Colada song.
Exactly.
By Rupert Holmes, right? Yeah.
Nice, you get it. Instacart shared another round of stats, this time on America's top ice cream orders. And this is kind of fitting on National Pina Colada Day.
All right.
They say the top trending ice cream over the past 2 years is pineapple coconut. Which is essentially pina colada.
Yeah, that's like that flavor, right? That distinct flavor.
But I didn't see that coming.
No.
Like, as a top ice cream flavor? Like, that's... I think you have to think of the type of people, and we're assuming here a bit and everything, of course, but that are able to order from an Instacart or something. And, to me... it seems like people that have a little bit of money can do this, and those tend to usually have different tastes or try different things or
that's
whatever.
True. Just because they're able to, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's more of a chance to. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's part of it or not, but I definitely was surprised by that.
Pineapple seems to be having its day.
Yeah.
A lot more stuff with pineapple. We're hearing more about the Hawaiian pizza is becoming a bigger thing again, and pineapple. Yeah, boy.
Well, and I heard a new one from people younger than me, too, about that. That Brian and I, my teacher, the mm-hmm. guy I work with a lot, we're doing a sketch, and it's about pizza. And I'm fighting him that deep dish pizza isn't real pizza and all this, and we're going back and forth. And at some point or another, he referenced a pineapple pizza or something. We get done with the sketch, and our students are, like, raising their hands and stuff. And we, like, you don't raise your hand in our classes. What are you doing? But they literally had their hands up in the air because they're most of these kids are coming out of high school still.
Yep. Youngsters.
So that's what they're used to. And they're like, Mr. Mailoff, that's not how it is anymore. That nobody thinks pineapple on pizza is weird. And it's not a big deal anymore and everything. I'm used to TV, movies, pop culture, slang making me feel old. Pizza made me feel old.
Pizza made you feel old.
I heard that statement, and there was such... I'm looking at each one of these students, and they're all just nodding their heads like, geez, you didn't know this? Pizza made me feel old, Seth.
That's hilarious.
It's not fair. It's not
that
right.
That is hilarious.
But to your point, man, I think, that it's become a common thing. They say the top trending ice cream, of course, again, pineapple coconut. Pineapple coconut ice cream saw a 37% boost in sales last year.
Whoa. That's big.
Pistachio is next with 25%, and then green tea at 24%.
Wow, times have changed.
You're overthinking this. Chocolate.
That's what I'm saying, man. Boy, things have changed.
They also looked at the most popular flavors overall, and you can probably guess what number one is. Now, I wouldn't have, because I would have said chocolate, mm-hmm. and that is not it. The number one flavor, according to this, is vanilla.
Yes, that makes sense to me, actually.
The customizing you can do with it.
Vanilla is a great flavor enhancer in a way, you know, because you can, like you said, you can add a lot to it and make it even better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, moose tracks and cookies and cream, all different kinds of stuff.
I mean, you can add sprinkles and any kind of topping, and it all goes well with vanilla. All of it. Not always with chocolate, but with vanilla, it does.
And it wasn't until I got older that I realized there is different flavors of vanilla. You know, I never understood, they all tasted the same to me, but I will admit there's a difference
between the vanilla bean or the more imitation vanilla. Mm-hmm. I was going to say fake vanilla, but no, it's still vanilla. French vanilla.
So vanilla comes in at number one, and number two, chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, cookies and cream, which is basically the combination of those first two.
Chocolate and vanilla.
Strawberry comes in at number four. Now that one, what you were saying about pineapple, mm-hmm. I would have said about strawberry a couple of years ago, and it seems like that has kind of kept going.
Both of my children would choose the strawberry over the other ones right now because that's their favorite flavor. So
I've gotten into strawberry flavored things more mm-hmm. than I ever have before. And I'm not alone. And I think now that I'm saying it out loud, I think it's because of my dad. because my dad has.
Oh, that's cool.
My mom made him a cake for his birthday from the other day. Mm-hmm. And we've always had the same thing for him and my birthday. It's a chocolate cake, usually with chocolate frosting.
Right.
Every once in a while, like, ooh, dark chocolate instead. You know, that's what we usually eat. He picked it out himself, a strawberry cake with Ooh. Vanilla ice cream
like buttercream or something like that. Yeah.
It was good. I don't mind red velvet, but I can't eat a ton of it.
Yeah. That's more chocolatey flavored anyway, but yeah.
With this, I mean, I killed off half that thing myself.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I destroyed that cake.
Strawberry cakes are good.
They had to put police tape up around it with what I did to
crime scene.
They just said, get out of here. You don't want to see this.
Columbo came in for some reason.
Yes. Oh, excuse me. One last thing. Mint chip comes in at number five, cookie dough at number six, coffee at number seven, another one that is kind of coffee flavored things.
Yeah.
They've gotten so much better too now at that. It actually starting to taste like coffee now.
It is, yeah. They had some issues back in the day.
That used to anger me so much. Ooh, coffee flavored ice cream, but it doesn't taste anything
like
coffee.
No, wait a minute.
No. Butter pecan or pecan comes in at number eight. At number nine, Neapolitan, you're cheating. That's just a bunch of flavors.
That's three different flavors all together. Come on now.
And at number 10, peanut butter chocolate.
Peanut butter and ice cream really don't do it for me.
No.
Even with chocolate. Because I do peanut butter and chocolate are good together. I agree with that. But not with the ice cream. Peanut butter in ice cream seems weird to me a little bit. I want to avoid it.
Yeah, no, I don't like the textures together. Nah. They say Dubai chocolate is also a hot flavor that is rising in the ranks.
Okay.
And in the Midwest, we kind of almost threw off this whole thing because everybody was looking up moose tracks. they can't stress enough how much we Google or we right. search or we look for mm-hmm. moose tracks. That is the number one ice cream in the Midwest.
The other ice cream flavor that I've seen around, especially, again, my kids really like Blue Moon, which is a different, I don't even know what, I don't think I've had it before, so I don't know what the flavor is, but they love it, and they will just, I mean,
let me describe gallons. The flavor of Blue Moon to you, Seth.
Okay.
Perfection.
Oh,
it okay. is perfect. It is perfect.
We'll see now. Maybe we'll be seeing that rise up here soon.
I'm a big fan of like the bubblegum ice cream, and it's probably as close as you can get to nowadays. I can't even find bubblegum
ice cream. No, you can't.
I can't find it anywhere.
I don't know if it was a marketing thing that people were like, I don't want bubblegum ice cream. And they just kind of changed it to Blue Moon. It's basically the same flavor.
Broke my heart. I would say for years I have inserted. I actually went to a Cold Stone because they had it, and they told us that they didn't have any more. They didn't. So it just they just looked at me like I had three heads.
Do you remember when we were younger, and even before us, Tutti Frutti?
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, I can understand why that one didn't make it, because it was late. What, Tutti basically means everything.
Yeah.
It means all flavors, basically, together. Tutti Frutti, which is why, I don't know, I don't ever remember anyone eating it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was available, but no one had it. I don't remember going like to an ice cream shop and getting it.
I think, my sister really liked the strawberry chocolate eclairs.
Oh, okay,
The strawberry eclairs, not chocolate. Mm-hmm. And I think she was always debating between those two. She always ended up with the eclair. Okay. Eclair. That was a good one. Do you remember the snow cones, but they had a gumball at the bottom of them?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if those were available to me.
I did not really like snow cones, but man, I wanted that gumball at the bottom. There's nothing like a frozen gumball when you're a kid.
I am not familiar with that at all.
So good.
Wow.
I don't know if the gum industry and the ice cream industry just like had a falling out or whatever. You know, I want them to make up, though. I feel
deprived now. I didn't have that when
I was a
kid.
There's a lot of good ones out there. There's a lot of good marketing opportunities out there.
Yeah, come on now.
There was an ice cream. I don't remember what the gum was. It was like Sticklets or something, but it was
Chiclets.
Yeah, Chiclets.
It was Chiclets, I'll bet.
They were like Chiclets, but smaller.
Okay.
And they would sprinkle those on. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Gum and ice cream.
I wouldn't think it would work, but it does. It really does.
I'll take your word for it. I don't ever remember doing that.
And, yeah, it, again, going back to the Blue Moon, it's kind of like the only thing we have kind of close to that anymore.
To the old bubblegum flavor, huh?
God, I love it. It's good stuff.
Wow.
We'll take a quick time out, come back with the El Cafe birthday and anniversary club and have some fun, but we want to hear from you, everybody. What is your favorite ice cream, your go-to ice cream, or did you find a new flavor?
Weird combinations, maybe. Yeah, give us those, too. Yeah. We'd love to hear that.
Love to hear them right here at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Does construction make you hungry? Sitting in the hot vehicle waiting to get through the next block or to be taken way out on a countryside detour? Maybe this summer you can turn that struggle into a new experience with El Cafe in Port Edwards. Cruise in for real Mexican dishes, homemade pies, and friendly faces. Relax in air-conditioned comfort and explore something new with El Cafe the next time you're stuck in central Wisconsin road construction. Put a little fiesta back into your day and drown the construction stress away.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hands a big win to the environment. The court ruled it's unconstitutional for a legislative committee to block rules created by state agencies. The decision means good environmental rules now face an easier path to getting to the finish line and becoming law. For years, legislative vetoes by a handful of legislators stymied a long list of environmental protections. After more than 30 years, the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program is going unfunded. Money for the legacy program was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Committee on Finance. The program helps preserve our state's wildlife areas and fisheries through land purchases and grants. Now that the budget has been signed, it's unclear how the vital program will continue, although there is talk of a standalone bill that would revive it. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Partly cloudy today with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, low right around 65. Tomorrow, thunderstorms likely with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Let's get in the mood, a real groovy mood. Let's have a party. Let's get in the mood.
Let's get into it, everybody. It's time for some celebrating with our good friends at El Cafe in the Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to celebrate you and our great friends over at El Cafe. Treat yourself. Get out over there today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. We wish them a great one. Got some great specials going on this week, everybody. Check them out.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Wonderful menu that you can find at elcafewi.com. And, of course, encourage you to check out their Facebook page. Always having fun on there. It's a great one to have show up in your timeline and everything.
Yeah.
Encourage you to do that. Buy local, support local. And get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you.
Yeah.
Info at WFHR.com is where you can reach us through email, or you can direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
Call up now, 424-2600, area code 715, and celebrate someone's birthday or anniversary on the air live. We also want to do that with you.
We'd love to hear from you, everybody. Yeah. Call up and join the show. Seth, I need a one or a two.
Wow. I feel like I'm a programmer. One. I'm trying to.
Yeah, right.
I've only got two choices. I mean, come on.
Yep, there we go. That gives it that. But there we go. We got our qualifier.
All right.
So we can first up wish a very happy birthday to Civic Media's own Sarah Keisch of Ripon Wotoma office, where she handles traffic, logs, and more. She is their Pam.
And she is also new. Those are two new stations, by the way, in Wotoma and Ripon, everyone that are part of the Civic Media family now. So welcome to them, and happy birthday to her. Our staffs are getting so big. We could have like a birthday every day for like a Civic Media people. Yeah.
It's starting to remind me of the old radio days, how it used to be.
Right.
That's awesome. And she's awesome. Sarah, wish you a great birthday.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to wish a very happy birthday to Laura's brother, Andrew.
Happy birthday, Andrew.
Happy birthday, Drew. Happy birthday. He's always Drew, I hear.
Is that what it goes by? Okay.
Andrew, was it? Oh, yeah, Drew. Yeah. Happy birthday, Drew. Enjoy your day, man. Nice. Hope it's a good one for you. We also want to wish a very happy birthday to Al Carsey of Right Way Cleaning, our former office cleaners around here.
Oh, happy birthday.
Did great work over here. We really appreciated them.
Yeah, we did.
And really good people.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Al. Enjoy your day.
Yep.
Enjoy. And our qualifier today, John Caves.
John, happy birthday to you and congratulations.
Wishing you a great day, sir. Enjoy. Hope it's a good one. Hoping all of you enjoy your birthdays today.
And Caves, what a great last name.
Really good.
You know, it sounds like you should be like a rock, punk rock singer or something. Caves.
Yeah. Punk rock or a superhero.
Yeah.
One or the other. I mean, pick one.
Just Caves. Just go by Caves.
I think it's, they call me Caves. You got to, yes. It's really good. That's good.
That was Batman's alternate name.
That's right. He was trying it out. He was trying to see which one worked.
Work, yeah.
Caves doesn't work, Alfred. I'm thinking Batman. Sir, I don't think Batman's a friend. It'll work. Trust me. We take a look at who you share your birthdays with. Wyatt Russell is 39. Unlikely MCU star John Walker in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Thunderbolts. And he's going to be, of course, in all the MCU stuff.
I really enjoyed him in Thunderbolts. I think he did a really good job.
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, his character was very odd to me, and I didn't quite like or get him right away until I realized, I'm not supposed to like or get
That's
him right away.
He's a complicated person in this character.
And he's doing a great job, and he's got this impeccable jaw, and he looks a little familiar. But
just a little?
I didn't think much of it or anything.
Right.
I was really, actually really, with that one, that series in particular, I really thought we were going to get a real spy cloak and dagger kind of like, and I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we were getting that with superheroes and everything, and it was okay. It wasn't bad.
Yep. But
I was so focused on that, those things, and really trying to see if these two guys that at the time, and Sebastian Bach, Stan has proven since this that he can carry a movie, a film,
sure
and
can.
All that.
Yep.
But at the time, I was really curious to see if those two could lead a show, if they could carry a show. So I'm so focused on these things. They completely miss that Wyatt Russell is the son of Kurt and Goldie Hawn.
I know.
I had no idea.
And he's 39.
Wow,
he's older than I thought. But it's wow, he doesn't look that old. So, yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like he got into acting as young as his dad did.
No.
But he's good. He's good.
He's
good
doing actor. A really good job with that. Yeah.
And I kind of like that he doesn't seem like he's leaning into that. You know, his parents. Or
no. No, you think if he would have been doing that, he would have gotten more notoriety earlier in his career.
Jessica Simpson is 45.
Oh, wow.
Still in the public eye, I believe. I think she's still doing stuff on social media and things. Just another one of those. It's weird when I think of these singers that they were so big at one point. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, with singing, well, you know, you keep making music, you would think. But so many of these artists, whether it's her or Christina Aguilera or some of these
kind of retired,
they stop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thomas Ian Nichols is 45. Henry and Rookie of the Year, the 13-year-old kid who broke his arm and got a spot on the Cubs.
Yeah, right.
All that. Ended up, you know, growing up and playing Kevin on American Pie. But I just wanted to reference Rookie of the Year. I just wanted to reference that movie. I wish him a happy birthday.
That's a good movie. Good baseball movie. Yep.
Chiwetel Ejiofor. I cannot pronounce his name, but you know him if you see him.
Yep.
48 years old today. Carl Morban in Doctor Strange movies. Scar in the live-action Lion King. Solomon Northup in 12 Years a Slave, which is the... Man.
That's his, what a performance there.
His performance in that. Yeah. Everybody's performance in that movie. I don't know if I'll ever be able to watch it again, but I watched it twice, and I don't know. It's such a hard movie, but such a rewarding movie with the performances and the story and everything. He was, I just saw him in The Old Guard, a Netflix show.
Oh, okay.
That the first one was incredible, and the second one was I hated it. I did not like it at all. They better be making a third one because they got to make that right. But he was good in it. He was good in it. I like seeing actors like him that have such a good name and they could just be holding out for big work or whatever. When they do bit parts like he did in that, it shows that, you know, that one, you know, working actor, but also, oh, I like this. I like this work.
Yeah.
Sofia Vergara is 53.
Wow.
She's aging beautifully.
Yes, she is.
She's fun. I like her.
She has such a great take on a celebrity. I love what she's done with her career. It's really cool.
She's really been able to kind of starting to, at least, and this happens for Latin actors a little bit more sometimes than others, but being able to break out from that Modern Family role
and
show that she has more range and everything.
Right. And if I remember correctly, her earlier career, she was on like telenovela kind of thing, like soap operas, right?
She was huge.
But she was big. But that is so uncommon for them actors to break into like mainstream American stuff. That's really a feather in her cap.
One thing you don't see very often either is people leave telenovela, even for American TV or European TV or
they're
anything.
So
they're
so popular.
It's another one of these things. I Taylor Swift, all the respect in the world to her, one of the biggest, if not the biggest star in North America.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to look at the biggest star in music, it's Bad Bunny by far and away. Just with the Latin American audience.
It's a huge audience,
Telenovela is the very same thing, where you think that American TV star, he's probably pretty huge, he's probably pretty big, and then you think of like the Sofia Vergara in that realm, and she just dwarfs it.
Yes.
It's crazy. A couple of singers for celebrating birthdays here. Gary LaVox is 55, Rascal Flatts singer.
Oh, happy birthday to him.
Did the Cars theme song. Life is a Highway was a Cars theme song. That's
why
they
did that.
Is that
where that came from?
I didn't know that.
I should have known that, but I didn't.
I didn't know that. Okay. Well, now that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, there you go.
And the great Neil Tennant is 71. Pet Shop Boys singer.
Oh.
West End Girls, Always on My Mind.
How does he still sound like that?
Yeah.
He still sounds like he's in his 20s. And his singing voice has not changed at all, which is really amazing.
And then Arlo Guthrie is 78.
Oh, wow. I didn't know he was still alive.
Yeah. I don't think you're alone on that one. Three very different singers, but all, you know, impactful.
You know what? If you ever catch Trail Tunes on WIRI, you will hear some Arlo Guthrie. He's done several cowboy songs over the years. So
probably not Alice's Restaurant. No. Probably not just I don't
know 25 minutes of it.
I don't know if there's a radio edit of that. I don't know.
I think there is, but still.
The radio edit's like something. 10 minutes. Like
you lose the 25. If you don't listen to the whole 25 minutes, you lose something. Yeah, I'm telling you.
There's no way you can do it that way. And then some people no longer with us. But long before my dad loved Muhammad Ali, Jake LaMotta was his guy.
Gee.
Yeah. Shocker. Jake LaMotta, born on this day in 1922, passed away in 2017. Boxing legend. Now, made more of a legend because of the movie Raging Bull that Robert De Niro did arguably his greatest work in. Robert De Niro's done almost nothing but great work outside of Robert and Bullwinkle and a couple things here there.
Sure.
But as good as he is in Goodfellas or Casino or so many of these movies, those are mob movies. I don't see him using his acting muscles like stretching
as
them
much,
to the,
yeah.
you know, with that role. And Taxi Driver is a close second for me. Taxi Driver is very, very good. It's got Jodie Foster in it and stuff. Right. But Raging Bull, like the work he did, it happens so often now, it's just common. The man put on 60 pounds for a 5-minute scene and then lost the weight to do the next role. What he was doing back then, the thespianism he was doing back then, was bringing the stage to the screen maybe better than anybody had it. And everybody that wants to talk about Marlon Brando. Look, I respect Marlon Brando as an actor. As an actor, certainly.
Right.
But they should have just waited, because you could have said all that about De Niro. Because the things that Brando did, they would hurt other actors. They didn't. It was about Brando. It wasn't about the team. It was about Brando doing his thing and what he envisioned as an actor, especially in his live work and on stage. Whereas De Niro, he was obsessed with the job, but it meant nothing if everybody wasn't on the same page.
Right.
And it's still the same way to this day. This man is one of the greats of all time, and he's still working as far as
he's still going. Yeah. In his 80s doing stuff. Yeah.
And he was able to give, I don't know how much Jake LaMotta would have been talked about without that movie.
Oh, no, really. He was more of a blip on the boxing. I mean, people knew who he was, especially because of the
world heavyweight, middleweight champ.
Exactly. So he had that. And he did his nightclub act after that, like the show in the movie. He did that for a while. So people kind of knew who he was. But yeah, no, his legacy was like really up a notch or two because of that movie.
Fred Gwynn, born on this day in 1926. Herman Munster.
Some of the exact opposite of Jake LaMotta. Yep.
Great character actor, great actor. Loved him as Herman Munster. And he was great in My Cousin Vinny.
I mean, he was such a... Again, you know, I've spoken of this before. One of those actors that portrayed, no matter what he was doing, had a warmth to him.
Yeah.
That he could project through the screen. That even though, he's a silly Herman Munster, but... You know, I'd like to hang out with him, you know? Just spend some time with him, right? Yeah.
The great Ron Glass, born on this day in 1945, Shepard on Firefly. He was, I remember him, though. I remember him on Firefly, but I remember more as Detective Ron on Barney Miller. He was great on Barney Miller.
Oh, talk about a great cast. Barney Miller had such a
Miller
great cast.
Barney Miller was an amazing cast. Wow. Yes. David Brinkley, born on this day. Wow. One third of the three great reporters that we had growing up and everything. Former NBC and ABC news correspondent.
News anchor and correspondent Huntley and Brinkley.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Just you saying that brought me back. And the great Arthur Ashe, born on this day in 1943. Oh. The first African-American inducted into International Tennis Hall of Fame. Of course, passed away from AIDS and brought a lot of notoriety. Lot of attention to that.
He did, and an amazing tennis player. Yep.
And Don Herbert, born on this day in 1917, Mr. Wizard.
Mr. Wizard.
God, loved Mr. Wizard. Loved that show.
Awesome.
He was great. He was very good with those kids, and he was just I don't know. I don't remember him as being like Bill Nye or some of these guys or anything, but I felt like he always just carried that show very well, everything about it.
Hey, it was a living.
Nice. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun with some more stuff coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Members of Wisconsin's Urban Search and Rescue Task Force, known as Wisconsin Task Force 1,
or Wisconsin TF1, headed to Texas earlier this week to assist with search efforts following devastating flooding in portions of the state. Joanne Krulatz reports.
Five members of Wisconsin TF1, as well as three canines, left Wisconsin Tuesday morning from the regional All-Climate Training Center located at Volk Field in Camp Douglas. The team also brought specialized equipment to assist with search efforts, including a utility all-terrain vehicle and medical supplies. The Texas Division of Emergency Management made the request through the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, which is a nationwide mutual aid system. They requested Wisconsin TF1 for 14 days, but the request may be shortened or lengthened based on need. Wisconsin TF1 includes members from fire departments across the state and limited-term employees of the REACT Center. The members that were deployed were from the REACT Center and the Green Bay, Janesville, and Menominee fire departments.
The first woman to serve as a circuit court judge in Wood County has been appointed by Governor Tony Evers. Emily Nolan Plachek will fill the vacancy on the Wood County Circuit Court Branch 3, created by Judge Todd P. Wolf's retirement. Nolan Plachek will complete a term ending July 31, 2026. She has nearly two decades of experience working in Wood County and the surrounding area. Sheriff Sean Becker applauded the appointment, saying that as an attorney, Nolan Plachek earned his trust because of her integrity, her legal ability, her deep involvement in Wood County, and the fact that she is an honest, straightforward individual who treats everyone respectfully. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Some time off for the Brew Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers have the night off before they host the Nationals tomorrow night. The Brewers beat the Dodgers yesterday, 3-2 in 10 innings. Jackson Churio at the plate with Sal Frelick at third on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Churio, base hit! Ball game! Frelick scores! And the Brewers win! They sweep the Dodgers! Jackson Churio with his first career walk-off, and he makes a win. Sending the Dodgers to their sixth straight loss.
It's also the first time the Brewers have ever swept the Dodgers in a series played in Milwaukee. And after the game, it was announced that closer Trevor McGill has been selected for the All-Star game next week in Atlanta. NBA, Bobby Portis tells ESPN why he wanted to stay in Milwaukee and play for the Bucks.
Just the atmosphere, man. Just the culture, man. Just being in Milwaukee kind of helped shape and make my career.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwava. Actor Mark Ruffalo has taken shots at podcaster Joe Rogan, insinuating that Rogan is late to the game with his ICE raid outrage. The Kenosha-born Ruffalo said it's a little late now to pretend like Project 2025 didn't exist and wasn't the playbook all along, saying about Rogan, you are either not that smart or not that dumb. It's hard to tell at this point. Ruffalo has a host of projects set to drop in the coming months, and despite a solid performance as always, is still probably trying to forget he was part of Mickey 17. AMC Theaters recently announced they would play more commercials before movies to help offset a budget deficit. That's probably not something most moviegoers wanted to hear, but in a move in the other direction, beginning July 8th, the movie chain will offer 50% off tickets on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. The chain has also announced they will offer discount popcorn and soda on those days. This will allow the movie-going public to save a few bucks while still trying to add a few extra pounds. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Mornings on WFHR.
A crash that covered an interstate in boxes
a mozzarella cheese.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So this is one of those things that if it happened in front of me, God help me that there's a rational, smart adult next to me that tells
me,
James, you leave that where it is. Yeah. You leave that where that is, James. It's free mozzarella. I immediately turn into my father.
Mozzarella gate.
Weekdays from 9 to 11 on WFHR.
Partly cloudy today with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, low right around 65. Tomorrow, thunderstorms likely with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Ha! Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Good things coming up for you. Got a couple topics you can touch on in this segment right here. A website analyzed the experiences of people at 140 DMV locations across 30 major U.S. cities to figure out which ones are the most frustrating and the biggest waste of time, and the ones that are not so bad. So they crunched the numbers, and the cities with the best DMV locations are Indianapolis, Phoenix, Seattle, Jacksonville, Florida, Philadelphia, Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, New York City, and San Antonio.
Okay.
Not a lot of connection there, not a lot of pattern there.
No, not really. Not at all,
kind of
really.
All over the place.
All over the map, literally.
Yeah. And then here are the cities with the worst DMV locations.
Okay.
Charlotte, North Carolina, number one, when it comes to the most negative reviews, three Charlotte locations were in the top five among the 140 locations they looked at.
Oh, dear. That's not good.
Portland, Oregon, Austin, Boston, New Austin and Boston. I didn't realize
that's a little rhyme there. That's good.
San Fran, Memphis, Denver, Oklahoma City, Los Angeles, and Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
For what it's worth, the report says Oklahoma City DMVs are the most improved over the past couple of years.
Okay.
The least improved locations in Los Angeles, Nashville, and Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And Phoenix, Jacksonville, and Philadelphia have the three most pleasant DMVs.
What's the criteria for that? I like whatever it is. I'm curious now.
I, like everybody else out there, have been frustrated at a DMV before in my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many people out there have been to multiple DMVs, but I've been to quite a few, just moving and living in the different places I have. And I will say something as a people observer and somebody who, I don't know, I think maybe one time I went to a DMV with my dad. Otherwise, I've just pretty much always gone by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So you people watch a little bit.
Right.
And I'm going to say something. You can get mad at me for this one if you want, everybody. Sometimes it's you. Like, sometimes it's not the DMV.
It's true.
I don't think there's a lot of people that worked in DMVs or are working in DMVs that won't tell you, hey, we are short funded. There is not a lot of funding going into DMVs. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't a business. You know, this isn't something where they're making money on the side here or something.
Right, like that. like charging, overcharging for your license so they can pocket the money.
If you want there to be more people working there, you might have to pay a little bit more in taxes or something. Hmm. You might actually have to put some money. You might have to put your money where your mouth is. If you don't want it, if you don't do that.
Right.
It's pretty hard to complain about the DMV having two people for a city the size of ours,
right,
or something along those lines.
You are totally on the track. I was thinking right now when you started talking about that. When we hear it's tired, first of all, the whole DMV thing.
It's a joke from our childhood.
Seriously, this was something they were doing back in the 80s, you know, the kind of thing. And I think part of it is because L.A. has bad ones and all the writers are in L.A.
Yep.
They know. I mean, that's what they know. But I have never had a horrible experience at a DMV in all the different places I've lived. It's been, you know, maybe you had to wait a little bit. That's fine. Most of the time I haven't even had to wait that long. And most of the people are professional that work there. They do want to get it moving, but they need to make sure all the boxes are checked. And it goes back to what you were saying. It all comes back to money.
Yeah.
They need funds in order to hire people to do these jobs. That's why it's... And if their money comes from the state or the city or whatever, in our it's the state because it's a state organization, right? So if we don't fund them, they're stuck. They can't make, like you said, they can't make more money on the side. It's just they're stuck with what funding they get. That's it.
there are, you know, you got people that are bark about the roads, but they'll also bark about paying taxes. And you can't have it both ways.
No.
This is the world. This is the system we have.
Yeah. Aren't we happy for those roads?
Well,
seriously.
And we're saying all this now. I mean, what are we going to be saying in a year or two or so with a lot of the cuts that are happening almost every government funding or every government program? This isn't about, like, nobody wants overspending. You've never heard a citizen or a politician say, you know what, we should overspend. We should waste money. Let's do that. Nobody's trying that before. Let's try that.
Usually when that happens, that means someone's stealing something is usually what happens.
The majority of these things that the overwhelming majority of the things that we're seeing cut only affect the people like us on the ground level. Mm-hmm. They don't affect anybody at the top because the people at the top have not suffered one bit.
They don't use the roads that much.
Ask your if you got a CEO of a company or something like that, ask them. Ask your politicians. Ask your representatives. How have you suffered? What have you had to sacrifice in the last year or at all?
Yeah.
Even go back to the pandemic.
Like, seriously,
What are you giving up? Like, anytime you do this, they just turn into babies and get all whiny and defensive and everything because they don't. They haven't had to do anything like that. Do you think that they got to go to a DMV and wait in line for 20 hours? No. It's on us to care about these things. It's on us to do something like it always is and like it always has been. Mm-hmm. We the people.
Right.
If you want better roads, you want more people working at the DMV and these things. Mm-hmm. You can't just snap your fingers and hope. Right. You gotta make it happen. You know, hope ain't gonna get a lot done in this day and age. I'm sorry, but it's not. You got to put some action to these things.
Right.
You can hope, you can pray all you want. I encourage you to do so. Just put a little action behind it.
Yeah, it's because that speaks louder than words for sure. And it's not just voting, although that's of course very important. Like we talk about here all the time, right? Voting is good, but also talk to your representatives. They're literally representing you.
Yeah.
That's their job. So let them know what you're thinking.
And just speaking for the ones that I talk to once a month, every month for the last 7, 8 years, whatever it's been, 9 years it's been, they want you to call them. They want to hear from you. I confidently say that. Reach out to them, find out more. And then there's this story, Seth. So that's the DMV that we're there. Now we're going to the airport, where it's even more scary.
Oh, boy.
A little bit.
Yeah, we had a little discussion yesterday about that.
I admit that I am overprotective of my siblings, my brother and sister. They mean a lot to me, and I've protected them my whole life and everything. I don't know that I've ever been... My brother's flying today. I believe he's flying today. Okay. And I've never been more freaked out for him. I don't think I ever have been more freaked out for. I think that's saying something considering my background and his background and everything. I'm just nervous about those things, about anybody flying right now, especially family and that. If there was an everyday people Olympics, I think that this would be one of the better things to add to it, being able to run from gate to gate at an airport.
Right.
There is some new data which shows the airports with the longest walks, and some of them really force you to get your steps in. Here's the top five. So this is the top five U.S. airports that make you walk the miles between gates, the longest gate, and you know that. Number one, Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. Longest distance by far at 2.16 miles.
Whoa.
I've been in the Houston airport. Okay. I think maybe I was at the Dallas. No, I was at the Dallas one. I don't even know if they have one in Houston.
I have never been in the Dallas airport, surprisingly enough.
I literally came in one end and just a couple feet over felt like I had to go.
You got lucky.
Yeah, I didn't experience any of that. I think it was actually one of the shorter gates I've ever been.
Probably, yeah. Huh. And it's always when you have a huge layover when it's right next to it. And of course, it's always the short layovers when you have to go 6 miles, right? Yeah.
Man, I never get lucky. I never get lucky like this.
No.
That's weird to me that I actually worked out that way. At number two, Washington Dulles International Airport, longest distance, 1.62. I've heard a lot of things about that airport. Yes. George Bush International Airport in Houston. That's right.
There is one in Houston.
Longest distance, 1.52 miles.
Good grief.
That's incredible.
I mean, these are huge Oh my God.
It's really something.
It is, I'm telling you.
Denver International Airport at 1.45 miles.
Okay, I've been there, but it's been a while.
And in JFK International Airport in New York, longest distance, 1.38 miles. So I mean, all of these just a hefty distance.
Yeah, those are, and it's always at the other end of the airport.
Well, you know, that's just if you're flying out of any of these, yeah, just seriously. Assume that, you know, wear your track shoes.
Yeah, right.
You
know?
get your stretching in beforehand and everything.
Make sure you got good casters on your roller bags. Yeah,
You know, and for me, because I travel so much by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm used to, I got my carry on, and I'm literally ready to book, not run so much, but book. I got my headphones on, so I'm not being distracted by anybody. And I just go.
Just go.
And even with all of that, I am still sometimes late or at the very least, like, worn out. I've been to, like, one of these airports. Mm-hmm. I think I might have been to the Denver airport, but it was a quick in and out. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I've only been to two of them, and I still have dealt with this. O'Hare has gotten better, but it has its difficulties. Mm-hmm. LAX was not a bad airport, mm-hmm. just crazy. I thought O'Hare, okay, I've been to one of the busiest, if not the busiest airport in America. Mm-hmm. I understand what it's like, how busy you can get. Then I've been to LAX. Mm-hmm. Wow. So I can't imagine what, like, at JFK in New York or their other airport they got over there.
Right, LaGuardia.
I can't imagine how those are.
I have been in O'Hare a couple of times. I've been through there a couple of times. I've never had a bad experience. I mean, I've had to, you know, go some distances, but yeah. I've never, that's not a bad airport. I mean, most of the airports that I've used, you know, recently are actually decently laid out. Detroit is probably one of the better ones because it's just like a long stretch and they've got a nice, you know, tram there that can take you to the other end pretty quickly. Minneapolis is similar to that, although it's laid out a little bit more complicated.
But it's also got some really nice viewing areas.
That's true.
Yeah. And some really, I really was impressed with that airport.
Yeah. It's not bad.
The Denver one, now that I remember, you mentioned the minutes and it reminded me of the Denver one. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of time there. It was like a half an hour, 20 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. They've got some spots where it's just wide open windows and it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
those amazing. Views of the mountains. Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm so glad you said that. I forgot about that. That was fun. I will say, too, some of these being older airports kind of stands out to me a little bit, too, and mm-hmm. how we've had to adapt to those. Of course, I don't know how many newer airports we really have anymore.
They've been known to add on, you know, new gates and new sections and that stuff, but it's really hard to, like, totally redo an airport because they're so big.
Yeah.
They're just such a big structure, yeah.
We send a shout out to our Wisconsin Rapids airport over here in all of our...
Much smaller airports. Hard people. Very easier to get to.
Guessing it's a lot quicker to get to gate to gate. Coming up, my half-nightmare.
Your half-nightmare, okay. Whatever that is.
Find out.
Figure it out.
Coming up on The Morning Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Shayna Broussard became the chair of the Federal Election Commission July 1st. Problem is, her bipartisan commission, hapless in the best of times, will still be paralyzed. The agency is supposed to have 6 members, but has only 3, so no enforcement can take place. Broussard, a Democrat, was nominated by President Donald Trump in his first term and confirmed by the Senate in December 2020. Broussard served as a counsel in the FEC beginning in 2008. Broussard takes the reins of an agency unable to do its job. Resignations of commissioners in January and April and Trump's firing of Chair Ellen Weintraub in February left only 3 members and no quorum to enforce election and campaign finance rules. The commission frequently deadlocks along its 3 Democrat and 3 Republican party lines. Only in egregious cases of corruption, such as Congressman George Santos, is a bipartisan recommendation for prosecution typically made. The FEC can continue to require campaign finance reporting, receive complaints, investigate, and make recommendations. It just can't enforce anything. Why, you may ask, has a Democrat become chair of the Trump administration's FEC? Because it's unlikely Trump will nominate an additional 3 members, keeping the FEC powerless to referee the upcoming midterms. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible.
Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The day you become one with your partner is truly a special day for every couple. The Wisconsin Rapids Rafters want to add to your memories with their July 12th Renew Your Vows event. Bring your significant other as historic Winter Field is turned into the largest wedding in Wisconsin Rapids. Explore the wedding show displays throughout the concourse, bachelor, bachelorette party games, and a post-game vow renewal ceremony on home plate. Renew your vows with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, July 12th at 6:35 p.m. at historic Winter Field.
Partly cloudy today with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, low right around 65. Tomorrow, thunderstorms likely with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We'll take it to the top of the hour. We're going to kick off the 10 o'clock with our good friend Denise from the Southwick County Humane Society and our pet of the week, thanks to Milltown Coffee. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to them. Also got some entertainment news in there, some fun stuff. We'll get into our schedule as well and some great events going on in our area. Mm-hmm. But right now, Seth, this one with the rise of us getting items mailed to us and mm-hmm. being able yep. to order online and a lot of that, we've heard some of these stories before. And when we hear these stories, in the back of my head, I put myself as a hyper empath in these people's shoes.
Okay.
And there's a part of this that actually is like a borderline nightmare to me.
Oh.
A woman in San Jose, California has been getting hundreds of Amazon packages over the past year, and they all contain the same thing. Oversized fake leather car seat covers. That's it.
What?
They're scattered all over her property, and she can't fit her car inside her garage anymore. Oh, no. She's also refused delivery on hundreds more.
Wow.
She repeatedly complained to Amazon, but they gave her the runaround. They promised the deliveries would stop, but they didn't.
Of course
they
not.
Told her to dispose of the boxes herself or donate them, but the woman said she couldn't afford to do that, and no charity wants hundreds of fake leather car seat covers.
Like, seriously, it's so weird.
She contacted the local news, and they looked into it. It turns out that Amazon seller was in China, and they randomly put her address on as the return address because they thought they wouldn't have to pay to have these large boxes sent all the way back to China.
Oh, my God.
Once the woman's story aired on the news, Amazon finally sent a truck to the house to pick up
thanks.
These things, and they supposedly taken care of the issue so she will never receive these anymore. What she has gotten for her pain and struggle with this
seriously.
Or nothing.
Zip. Yeah, nothing.
And notice Amazon only did something when they finally
when the
had
news.
To.
Yeah, exactly.
And this, like, there's a lot of things to stress and worry about in life and that. But I will say that there's a silver lining and a negative lining to going through a lot in life.
Yeah.
And I've experienced a lot in mm-hmm. life and a lot of crazy things. And at this point now, I think I worry more about mundane crazy than I do just insane. I can handle
right.
insane crazy.
Right.
I'm used to that. I'm not going to blink at that. But something like this happens to me, and I'm just, I don't know. It just seems like a
right.
nightmare. Like, and it's not just getting items. It's getting a useless item. Getting an item that I can't do anything with. And I've just got
and no one else can do anything with.
Like, I've got all these, like, just Ed Hardy snow globes. Like, just like, what am I going to do with this? Who wants this? Who would want that? Why did they make this?
And yeah,
I've
what
got
is
like
going on?
1,800 of them. It's a silly nightmare, but why I'm not saying it's a nightmare.
Yeah,
but
it's surreal, though. I mean, it's so bizarre. And honestly, you know, I not to continually doing this, but I can't help it because it involves Amazon. Amazon, so, you know, we've heard the phrase is, you know, too big to fail.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard the phrase too big to jail. Okay, we've heard those, and we've experienced those in the last 20 years over and over again. And then there's too big to care. Amazon doesn't care.
No.
They don't make their money on retail, by the way. They make their retail from web services, from, CIA contracts or whatever else they're doing, you know, some shady stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon does not care. yeah. about any of you. They, no. If you use their service, fine. That's fine. But otherwise, they don't care.
They don't just not only care about us, they don't care about the planet. They don't care.
No!
About, this wedding that Baldy here had a little while ago and everything is one of the biggest, I imagine it itself created a hole in the ozone.
Yeah.
It set us back as a world.
I can't think of any.
It's not like the marriage is going to last.
Right, yeah.
Like, oh.
I can't think of any normal person who saw that and wasn't like, what is this?
Disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, ugh.
Charisse Theron was invited, I guess, and she not only turned it down, but took it as because she couldn't understand why she was invited. She doesn't know these people. She doesn't have any connection to them. She was just invited.
Just because she's famous, right? Yeah.
So she had some, it was a great cause she was working on, I think in Africa, and she did some big speech while it was going on. Mm-hmm. And she just like, she turned into one of the best insult comics I've ever heard. Like, I didn't know she had it in her. Like, she turned into Jeff Ross and Don Rickles or something like that. It was great.
Hey, I'll take it. Nice.
It was good. It was awesome. Good. The only thing about this that I can say as a positive possibly for this lady is that maybe these things won't happen to others.
Maybe
the story will get, you know, because Amazon's not a dumb company. You know, they just don't care.
Yeah, exactly. They're not stupid. Yeah, you're right.
I would think that maybe they're going to be smart enough to watch these things, catch these.
Because obviously, it was the PR. It was the negative stuff that it got them to take notice.
Again, you affect their wallet or their PR. Yeah. That's how you get attention.
That's right.
That's how you get noticed. Not by us, though. You don't have to do that.
No,
us.
No.
We'll always pay attention. We'll be back with our show.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And all
CBS News Brief. More than 24 members of a construction crew in Los Angeles have been rescued after an underground tunnel partially collapsed. CBS's Carter Evans.
They lowered 4 other workers underground, and they were able to get in a vehicle and drive up to the debris and get to these workers who were trapped.
The death toll up to at least 120 in the Texas flooding. More than 170 people are still missing. CBS's Karen Hua is in Kerr County.
Governor Abbott says they won't stop until they find every single missing person. So we still hear helicopters flying up ahead. We still see boat rescue crews, ATVs, canines, drones.
A great big deal in the breakfast biz.
Bring out the tiger!
Tigers start their day with a great taste of Frosted Flakes.
Ferrero, maker of Nutella, plans to buy Kellogg for $3.1 billion. Cereal maker shares up 30%, and the Nasdaq notched a new high at the open.